I want to start off today with asking everybody a question. And I want us all to think about it. Oh, hi, Cody. Is there anything better than having God's peace?
No.
Well, that was quick. Who said no? Carmen, why?
For me, it's just without it, it seems to be like my life is just in chaos. My thoughts are wild. I have no, like you said, when he gives you that peace, it's something that you can't even explain. I mean, in my worst times, when I've gotten on my knees and just asked for his peace and he has given it to me, it's something that is just awesome. It's just something that you just feel like a relief where you can breathe. Your mind is still, and it just gives me the hope to continue on.
Amen. Over to Beth there.
I pretty much feel the same way. It's just before the Lord was in my life, it was so different. And now that he's there, it's like I can always turn to him. He's always with me. I can feel the peace. I mean, I just feel better now that I have the Lord.
Amen. You know, you could have all the money in the world. You could have whatever you want, worldly stuff. But man, if you don't have peace, if you don't have God's peace, you don't have anything. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're going to teach on today is God's peace. All right? First thing I want to do is I want to look at the definition. I always like to look that up. And I have the Hebrew definition here. And the word in Hebrew means shalom. So, shalom, shalom. Shalom, Pastor Don.
Yashimash.
Si.
That's the word in Polish. Right, Roger?
And it means peace, and it refers to the state of being free from war or disturbance. And it also can convey the idea of health, safety, soundness, welfare, friendship, or entirety and completeness. And there's also the Greek definition of that. And since my wife's Greek, I'm going to let her give the Greek definition.
The Greek word for peace is eirene, which is harmony, security, safety, and assurance. And when Bob asked us to teach this, I looked at Brian and I'm like, you realize we have peace, and do you know we will have no peace if we're not careful? So during this whole 2 to 3 months, my peace has been shaken. We've had things happen, life happen, and Brian happened.
Oh, wow.
Woo! Brian is a happening.
Can you elaborate on that there, darling?
Threw you under the bus, Chief.
Don't leave me hanging.
You did something last week. You could save it now.
You know, whenever the Godfather, Bob, asked you to teach, it's not like he's asking. You know, Godfather wants you to do something, you do it. You don't do it, there's consequences. When I first started preparing for my part of the teaching, the first thing I do is I like to go to Bible Gateway, and I can just click on all the scriptures and everything, and then I can get different, you know, you hit the add parallel, and I can get it in different versions, like King James or NLT or something like that. So the very first day I started preparing the lesson, they have verse of the day on there. And the verse of the day, we're going to look that up, is in Philippians. Scroll down. Stop right there. The verse of the day was Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I said, well, this is a coincidence. And we're going to read that here. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That was the verse of the day, and I'm just starting on peace.
I like there's other translations. Instead of anxious, they use the word worry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that seems to fit better. What's the opposite of peace? Worry.
You studied. He looked ahead at my notes because I was just getting ready to say that. It's okay. I forgive you.
Great minds think alike.
Where's that mic? Over to Kenny here. Just so I'm not pulling a sleight of hand, Pastor Don, I want Kenny to just read that first sentence there.
It says, I will do everything that Bob says. What? I will not complain about his teaching.
Give me that mic back.
Do not be anxious about anything. Another word is for anxious is worry, and it's just coincidental.
You know, here's another coincidence. A little over a year ago, I taught on worry up here. So it's like, okay. So now I get to teach on peace, so I'm going to get to walk in peace. Because when I taught on worry, I walked in worry. So what does it say about worry, Mike? Don't worry about what? Don't look at it. Huh?
Shouldn't really worry about anything. So... we know that if we have God, that you know, there's no reason to worry.
Right. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Right. We're all. Anybody guilty of worrying about anything? But instead of worry or being anxious, what should we do? Pray. And I think it was Bob when he was teaching. Was it last Sunday you were up there? Couple Sundays ago, and you know, he said, pray about everything. And how many times, you know, even in my own life, where I was like, hey, God, I got this. Don't worry. I can handle this one. This is small. And then the small thing that I didn't pray out ends up turn out to be a disaster. Amen. You too, Esther? Only one gets thrown under the bus today. That'll be me. Well, it says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, okay, thanksgiving. So let me ask you a question. Should we only be thankful on the fourth Thursday of November? I mean, as bad sometimes as our situations can look in the natural, you know, there's always something we could be thankful for. Amen? I mean, the fact that we're still breathing, we're still here, you know, we're still walking around. You know, that's something to be thankful for. Yes?
How many of us thank Him for the bad season we're in? You know, when you're walking in that worry, you're walking in that everything just falling apart around you, we get caught up. And you know, sometimes we just got to say, Lord, thank you for this. I have no idea what you're trying to do. I have no idea where you're taking me. But, Lord, thank you for this. Because we know as we read the scripture, we see men or women of God that have gone through those bad situations, but they were right in the middle of the will of God. Paul and Silas in jail, great example. They were right in the middle of the will of God. And what happened? Because they were rejoicing. The Philippian jailer and his entire family got saved. We see later there a letter, well, right here, taken to the Philippians. That is probably where it began, you know, because they were in a prison. They had been beaten, but at midnight they were singing songs to God. Jailer comes rushing in after kind of the earthquake and all the chains came off the prisoners' you know, all the shackles fell off. So it's in the middle of those situations sometimes. It's easy to thank Him when things are good. And one of my favorite little stories is the ten lepers. He said, go and show yourself to the high priest and blah, blah, blah. And one realized he got healed. He came back and he thanked Christ for what he had done. How many times God does something for us or gives us something or blesses us and we forget and we move on to the next season of our life? And that's why having those little memorials or those little things, you know, write them down. God, and look back. I've got little day timers, you know, that I've kept from years. And I go back and I look and I go, wow. You know, and it just stirs the memory Lord, I thank you for the past. I thank you for all those opportunities. Thank you for where we're at in the present, for the troubles, the hardships, the trials, and also I was listening. I got a CD, and I'm going to end with this. Last year when we did our Spanish thing, I called Fred up there. And I turned it on yesterday. I was driving back, and Fred goes, I had a walk in faith this week. You know, singing about Montaña, you know, the faith of the mustard seed. And he says, you got to praise God in the good times, the bad times, all the time. Remember that, Fred? And it just stuck with me. And yeah, after he turned it off. I didn't want to hear him no more.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I remember a few months back, I bought this car. You know, I test drove it, and I said, okay, this is nice, this and that, and had low miles. And, you know, an old man had owned it, so he took care of it and passed it on to his grandson. Well, the mistake I made is, well, I made two, but the first mistake I made was buying it. No. I looked at the tires, and they looked good. I'm like, oh, okay, the tires got good meat on it. You know, we're good. We're all set, you know. So I don't want to put any money into it, right, Fred? So when I go to pick the car up, I already bought it, this and that. Well, once I got it on the freeway, it's going like this. It's all over the road. I'm like, oh, man. So I went. I said, oh, maybe it just needs the tires balanced. You know, so I went to this one shop. Here's $20, you know, balance them. It's doing the same thing. So I come to find out I needed four new tires. I'm like, oh, you know. It's all right, you know. I said, hey, God, it's your money, right? So I told this story before, but, you know, I go to get the four tires, and this gruff old man's over there. He's like Jerry King, like his brother. And he was gruff like Jerry. I love Jerry, let the record show. And I was glad I was sitting on the other side of the store from him, because he was pretty vile, this and that. Well, come to find out, I ended up talking to him, and to make a long story short, I ended up ministering to him and praying for him. He had a lot of bad things happen in his life, and that caused his heart to be callous. And I always think, man, if I didn't need tires, I wouldn't have ran into this guy. So instead of saying, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to shell out. And that guy gave me a deal, too, so I was happy about that. And then about not even a month later, the car broke down and it rusted through, so I had to get rid of it anyway. But I had that car just long enough to be able to minister to this guy. I still have his number, and we converse and everything else. And so I'm praying for his salvation. So that was it looked like a bad situation. And I really wasn't stressed about it, though, was I, Christy, that time?
She was. She doesn't want to throw you anything.
Again?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to just throw out a little confession here. I was not walking in peace lately.
This is where Brian happens.
Well, as many of you might know, if you don't know, my wife got in a car accident. She flipped her car a few months back. And where's Ed? Ed Lindenbauer had a vision of an angel holding her down. Is that correct? So we were thankful that God spared her. She didn't come out, you know, without a scratch. And God was really good. So the insurance gave us X amount, so we were able to buy another car, but had to get some more money, and then my car died at the same time. So I bought two cars, and just right before that, our daughter had moved home, and she brought us a care package, if you don't know. You know, so financially, I was like, all right, well, because I was planning, our 20-year anniversary is this month, you know, by the way. God bless her for sticking with me for 20 years. I don't know why, but God bless her. Yes. Like Pastor Don was saying. Before she moved back, I had planned this tropical vacation. Sammy and Candace went somewhere nice in Pastor Don. Punta Cana. Yeah. I said, man, that sounds good. It's in my price range. Oh, like all expenses paid. You know, so I was saving up money. You know, I have my plans, but, Then Alex moved back home, which was an answer to prayer. Amen. Then the cars. I bought 3 cars within 3 months. Then the baby shower. Things were just piling on. And I was getting a little worried, a little bit, you know. Amen. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, start at verse 25, Matthew 6, 25 through. Alma, would you like to read for us? Okay. With the mic. You want the mic? Give her the mic. Because we've read this, I know I've read this 100 times, and I've taught about this the last time about worry. But how many of you know we can read things over and over and over and over and over, and then one day it just, bam, it hits you, and it becomes real to you, and then it's like, Alma, what? Read 25 through 34, please.
All the way to 34? Okay.
Come on. Wow.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Because I want to look nice. Sorry. Sorry. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I had been reading in Matthew, and the day I was sitting there. I was in the middle of this stress. I'm like, okay, I'm saving for Mexico. Check. You know, the cars. Check. Alex had actually paid for the bulk of her baby shower, so that was a blessing. I'm sitting there, I'm reading this, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a second here. You know, 34. This is the one that really stuck out to me out of all this. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. And actually, tomorrow was going to be the shower, you know, when I was reading this. And for tomorrow, worry about itself. And I was like, you know, that's Jesus talking here, you know. He's saying these things to us, you know. And Christy happened to call me, and she was, right after I read this, and she says, you know, I'm really starting to get stressed out about the money and, you know, the cakes, this, and blah, blah, blah.
I wasn't really stressed out about the money. It was just, I wanted Alex to be blessed, and I was starting to worry. You know how when you want someone else to just feel loved and be blessed, you start to get that feeling of anxiety. And so everything else was hitting me, the money, the cake, the hall. Everything was just piling down on me. And when Brian called, I just went off. It was like, I think he had to pull the phone away from his ear because he didn't know who he was talking to. But he read me the scripture. He prayed for me. And God blessed Alex, I mean, amazingly. It was just more than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, it was tremendous. And but, you know, I purposed in my heart. I says, you know what? I said, I'm tired. I told Christy this. I says, I'm tired of the devil robbing us. He's robbing our peace. He's robbing our joy. I says, you know, I'm done. I did. Like Balboa, so that's it. Ain't going down no more, Mick. You know? sometimes, what movie was that? Just sometimes you got to make a stand, you know? Forgot the movie, but Hoagie, you probably know.
And the truth is the enemy really can't rob us of our peace. We allow him to take it. And that's where we have to be careful. We can blame him, but the truth is we let him.
Amen. Amen. You know, and that was the thing, too. It's like, start thinking about the truth. Like, you know, like David. David kept thinking about his past victories, you know, when he got discouraged. You know, he would encourage himself. He said, wait a minute, you know. I killed this lion, I killed this bear, you know, God was there. And I started thinking about, you know, things in my life after I already purposed in my heart that, you know, I ain't letting the devil rob me anymore. You know? Hey, you know, we've been, you know, faithful in our giving, you know. God's always faithful, you know, you reap what you sow, you know. And I don't deserve the house I'm in, but God, I don't deserve to be standing here right now with my health issues in the past. But you know what? Amen. God is good, and the devil's a liar.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I was going to say, you remind me of Tammy Faye.
You don't deserve it, but yet you are blessed. You remember that song she used to sing?
No.
Just to give you a Brian story here.
Uh-oh.
It was just after they bought their house. And Brian, no, I didn't ask if I could tell it. I'm going to tell it anyway.
Ouch.
Brian's calling me 4 times a day. Bob, I don't know if I can make it. The gas, this extra ride. I said, the gas? Yeah, I don't know. I said, God just gave you a house. How many cars do you have? 3. He gave you a house and 3 cars, but he can't give you gas. And there was just complete silence for a minute. It's like, well, yeah. But sometimes, and we're all the same way. I'm the same way. We get stuck. When we see a problem, that's all we focus on, where they do the thing where they put a sheet of paper with one little dot. We focus on our problems. We don't fix the good. We only fix the bad, so our focus is there. Sometimes we need to step back. That's why, Brian, you, and anybody, call somebody, get some prayer. Get refocused on the good.
Mr. Kenny?
You know, as we're talking about that, one of the things that came to mind was, and I like using this as an opportunity, when you're faced with those situations, is after working for Melbourne Housing for 16 years, they did away with my position, and that was it. So I came home, called everybody into the room, called the kids' friends in, told them what happened. I says, now this is the perfect opportunity for you guys to watch God move. Because God, you know, you see him move in the high times, the good times, people ain't really watching. When you're going through this, that's when people start watching. I says, this is the time you're going to see God move, and it's going to depend upon our actions, how we handle it. And without a shadow of a doubt, my kids handled it very well. They came to me every week asking for money, wanted food. They were still wanting steak. It didn't faze them a bit. Their faith never wavered. They never worried. They were never anxious. And we made sure that we had that testimony because that's the God we serve.
So, To finish Kenny's story, he did get a job, but not just a job, a better job.
Yeah.
And give it up. Come on.
See, Brian didn't worry either at that point, right? But he did call me. But he did call, and he said that it was actually not even, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. He called and says, yeah. He says, I was in the middle of service, and God told me to pray for a job for you. He says, and I found out you had to leave early. I had to go. We had to attend a funeral. So he called me that Sunday night, and because it was, you know, God telling him, he figured he'd be obedient before the, you know, sun went down. So he called me. I said, well, yeah, sure, go ahead and pray for me. It was the very next day I had gotten the email for the interview. 2 days later, I ended up getting the job. The job was for $4,500 more than what I was making. So now I started the job. Wednesday, they decided to tell me that we have bonuses that we get quarterly of $2,200. That we, if we make budget, so that's another $8,000 you have the potential of making. So I'm not worried. God is still, that's the kind of God we serve, but he's the God when you're on the mountaintop, and he's the God when you're in the valley. He doesn't change. Why should we change and trusting and having faith in him?
Yeah, while that mic's going over there. Hey, Pastor Don, can we call him Abraham and me Melchizedek?
Yeah, you've been called a lot of things. When he lost his job, and you know, he came in, and if you guys know Kenny, Kenny's a worker. You know, he's restless. If he's not doing something, he's got to be out there. And so he was sending out all his applications and blah, 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 and this place called him from out in Ypsilanti, and he went out there and he interviewed, and he's telling these guys how to run their business. Well, if you want to make a profit, you know, you got to do blah, 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 and we're going to generate more income and, you know, all this kind of thing. And I'm listening to Kenny, and he's telling me what he's telling these guys. I go, Kenny, that's great, what you told them. And then he tells me, well, yeah, they offered me the job, and, you know, it was like, you know, I don't know how many thousands of dollars less than what he was making when he was over there. And I'm looking at him, you know, and I'm like, I knew Kenny was like, hey, I just want to work. I said, Kenny, this is not the job. God is going to move you out and going to bless you. Here you are telling a bunch of heathen over there, you know, how they're going to make money, but you were willing to settle for something else. And like I said, he just wanted to work. He wanted to be productive. He, you know, he's not going to go on, you know, welfare or you know, whatever you get. And so he was there. How long were you there, Kenny? 6 weeks. And then something happened there. One of the guys turned on him, and instead of trusting their guy that they hired for leadership, they trusted one of these old employees that didn't do anything and just a source of trouble. And I just knew right then and there that was God, you know. But yet when you go through that, it's hard to see down that road. And it was a short while later then he got it, and he's in the office. I said, so Kenny, tell me about the benefits. Tell me about the, and, you know, he just kind of smiled a little bit. I said, see, didn't I tell you? You know, and everybody else, that's what we've been praying for, that God doesn't take you out of a situation. And I couldn't help but think how many times God removes us, and for a season, you know, and it's hard to thank God or not to worry when you're in that. But then God always takes you into that scripture you got right there. Don't run after these things. He did what he had to do. He put on his applications, and then boom, all of a sudden, miraculous, that door. And it opened up in his hometown city that he's familiar with. Chance for promotion, bonuses, and all this other stuff. And he would never be in that position today if he didn't have to go through. But he was faithful in trusting God through that and thanking God, even though he couldn't see where God was going to take him. You know, like the blind man being led by the hand there. But when his eyes got open, who's standing in front of him? Christ himself.
Amen. You know, Bob joked around. You know, I called four times, and yeah, I called him a lot. I called Kenny. I'd call Ed, Pastor Don. But, you know, it's okay to call. You know, it's okay to use that phone a friend. You know, we're not in this battle alone. You know, if you're dealing with depression or you're dealing with anxiety, fear, whatever it is, why you got to sit there and deal alone? Call a brother, call a sister and say, hey, I need prayer. You know, or if you're fighting with your spouse, which we never do that on. You know, say, hey, can you pray for my marriage? You know, I remember years ago, probably like 12, 13 years ago, we had a little spat, me and my wife, just a little one. And I was mad, she was mad, you know, we're just, you know. And right in the middle of it, Ed Lindenbaugh calls me. I'm like, I'm like, what? So, for the next 45 minutes, he talked me off the ledge, and he prayed for me. And by the time, because I had walked, you know, down to the park or whatever, and by the time I walked back, I was like, I repented to my wife, and it was all good. And I was thankful that you know, Ed was obedient. I don't even know why he called. If God puts someone on your heart, you know, like I said, I mean, I was just in the middle of praise and worship with Kenny. And I know he's needed a job. We've been praying for him for a job for a while. And it just so happened that day, it's like, oh, bless you, Lord, I'm listening. And all of a sudden, you need to pray for Kenny for a job. I'm like, all right, well, we happen to be on prayer team that day, so I'll grab him after service. And then I didn't see him. Now, It's not because I prayed for him, he got the job. It's just, you know, God told me to pray for him, and we've all been praying for him. Amen? So if God puts that on your heart, if God put, Roger, if you have a dream about me, puts me on my heart, you come call me and pray for me, all right? I'll take all the prayer I can get, brother. That's right. That's right. So my question is, are we allowing the devil, are you allowing the devil to rob you of your peace? Maybe it is financial like mine was. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe you're doing everything right. You know, like Paul and Silas, they did everything right and they're still in jail. Or like Joseph, amen. You know, maybe your world seems like it's caving in. Well, I'm here to tell you to stand strong, lift up your head, because God loves you, as an angel would say. And he will give you his promise of peace. You'll get through the storm, amen. Has anybody in here ever been through a storm? A lot of us, right?
All of us.
And how do we do? Are we out of it? No. No, but you're going to look back and say, "Man, I remember when I was." You know, Kenny's going to look back and say, "I remember the day I lost my job. I had 16 years there. I had a pension. I had this, that." And he's going to look back and say, "Man, God's peace was with me that whole time." You know? Thank God.
You know, once you've been walking with the Lord and you matured, the thing that you look for the most is the testimony. It's not that you don't get to look back as a father or a mother, but like I said, the testimony was for my kids because they're entering into this life. I mean, they've been sheltered by us. They've been living on our foundation that we've built. And them storms, once they step outside and they start to begin that walk and they see these things come against them, they need to understand, because they're going to look back and they're going to say, this is what my father and mother did. This is the God that they serve. That's the God that we know. And it's important. That's what's important about it, is that people can see that. Those that are going through a trial, they need to see the real deal on what happens in those situations. It's for their kids. That's that story being told again about the Paul and Silas being in jail. That's what enables that faith to build and to continue on. It's a legacy. You're not just building for today. We go through that storm so that you build for your kids' future, their future. And that's why you're able to find that inner peace and that strength to be able to go through that, because you're going to be on the other side. And they need to see that. They need to know from the time the storm starts, because there's going to be more in my life. And like I said, they need to know that you're going to find yourself on the other side. That there's a season. It's just a season.
You know, I want to get back to my daughter here.
Right.
Yes.
Let me just
say, oh, sorry, Adam.
That's all right. I was just going to say, I was thinking about the same thing the other night and reading when Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping. Remember, and the storms were raging. And I thought about that, you know, because they woke him up and said, you know, you're going to let us die here or what? But, I thought about that for myself, and I said, you know, I want to be like that, like Jesus, you know. In the midst of the storm, he's at peace. He's sleeping. He's like, man, I'm tired. I know I got to get to the other side, right? So we know we're going to get to that other side. And it's just a matter of whether we're going to be at peace, right?
Amen. Ed must have looked at my notes, too. That was coming up.
About the storm, you know, this whole, like I said, this whole few months has been a storm, one wave after another, wave after wave after wave. And like Kenny said, we do the things we do and search God the way we do, not just for us, but for our kids. And during this whole storm, my daughter had actually said to me, Mom, you're going to be fine. You've been through this before. I've seen you walk it. It'll be good. So when you hear that from your kids, you know you've done something right.
Out of the mouth of babes. I'll close with this. When Alex had come back home, you know, we'd set up some ground rules, and, you know, she was going to work. She was going to pay rent, you know. Church, blah, 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 you know, check, check, check. So she had a hard time finding work at first, until somebody who's being anonymous. She's sitting over here at all, but, you know, but right before that, because Alex always knew the importance of tithing, and she had, she didn't have a dollar to scratch her name, but she found like $5 in the bottom of her purse or whatever, and she gave it, you know, and it was like, just a couple days later, Kathy had called and said, hey, I got a job for you. It's like, and then, you know, other things started happening, and you know, the same with the baby shower. She got a tax return, so, you know, she had put some of that money towards the baby shower, and, you know, she saw, you know, she had peace about her finances, and it was good. Yeah, it's all.
I was just going to say, you know, this church has just ministered so much love to her. She came back feeling unloved and unwanted, and that day just spoke volumes to her. She's never felt more loved in her life.
Amen. Amen. And we'll close with that. Cody, can you close us in prayer, brother?
Thank you, Father, for Brian's obedience to getting up here and teaching a good word to all of us, Father God. And we just thank you for your word that it was delivered today, Father. And we just thank you for your peace that you can give all of us, Father. And we just pray against worry if anybody worries in here, Father. And, Father, we just pray against any of the distractions, Lord, and we pray that we can just have our full faith and trust in you, Father God. And we just pray for the worship and the service, Father God, and we pray that your Holy Spirit is over the whole church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.